This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share. You alone are my
redemption. I'm going to start with a little bit of a difficult statement, and I'm going to ask you to discuss it between you and your neighbor. And the statement says, a relationship is only as strong as the communication within that relationship. But just discuss it with the person next to you and just come to a yes and no. Don't do a master's degree over all the different philosophies and all that, but just say yes or no. Do you agree with it or do you not agree with it? And the second is, do you think it is also applicable for us Christians, followers of Christ, that the relationship is only as strong as the communication within that relationship? Relationship, what you've got. If it is a relationship between you and your husband, if it's a relationship with you and your neighbor, if it's a relationship between you and God, whatever it is, bits of communication. A relationship is only as strong as the communication within that relationship. I'm going to give you 2 minutes for 2 questions. Thank you. Thank you for all of you who said yes, yes. So I see people nodding. Yes, yes. Okay, I'm glad about it. Because it's very important that we should have communication part of the relationship, because I can imagine if I was not going to communicate with Renee for a whole week, it wouldn't be good for our relationship. I think by the second day or so, I won't get any food anymore. And most probably by the end of the week, she's maybe going to say something to me which I do not want to repeat now. In the Bible, we read that God is communicating continuously with us. And I'm going to read a few verses. And maybe it sounds a little bit longish that I'm going through the verses, but I'm going to come at the end of the sermon. I'm going to come back, and I just want to touch those services again. But God is speaking audibly to people many times in the Bible. And he was doing that because he was guiding the people. He was leading the people. He was giving them guidance of what they had to do. The first one is Moses, Exodus. And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he, which is God, said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God gave quite an important instruction over there for Moses. At that time, there were no WhatsApps, there were no emails. If we go a few years back, we would say maybe a fax or something like that. At that time, it wasn't. It was an audible voice what Moses was hearing from God. His successor, Joshua, also heard from God. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving you, which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Again, he was speaking audibly to Joshua of what Joshua had to do. Then he spoke to Gideon. Then the Lord turned to him, to Gideon, and said, go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the land of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? Audibly, what God is speaking to Gideon, what Gideon had to do over there. He also spoke to Samuel. And then the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do something at Israel, at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. So he's speaking audibly to Samuel. He spoke audibly to David as well. It happened after this that David inquired of the Lord. David is communicating. He's inquiring of the Lord, saying, shall I go up to any of the cities in Judah? And then the Lord replied and said to him, go up. And David said, where shall I go? And then God replied to Hebron. He also spoke to Job, who lost everything. Moreover, the Lord answered Job, because Job again spoke to the Lord. he raised a question over there, and then he got an answer from God. And God said to him, "Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, 'Shall the one who contends with the Almighty correct him? He who rebukes God, let him answer it.'" The prophets as well, Isaiah and Jeremiah. First Isaiah. "And then the Lord said to Isaiah, 'Go out now to meet Ahaz, you and Sirah Jashub, your son.'" If my pronunciation is not correct, it's not about what the name saw, but that God is speaking to Isaiah. "And at the end of the aqueduct from the upper pool on the highway of the fuller's field," he's very specific, the Lord, of where he had to go. It's even better than a GPS over here. God is saying, "That's where I want you to be." He also spoke to Jeremiah. And Jeremiah came and said, "You knitted me together in my mother's womb, but I'm too young." And then God is replying, and the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am a youth, I'm too young,' for you shall go to all to whom I'm send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak." And in Acts as well, where he was speaking to the one who laid hands on Paul and to be healed, but the Lord said to him, Ananias, I think was his name, "Go, for he is a chosen vessel. Go, for Paul is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel." God was speaking to those people audibly. He was giving messages. And then most probably we're asking the question, but is God still speaking to us today? And if he's speaking to us today, are we receiving that message? Are we having our dish, our antenna, are we having it on the right frequency that we can receive, that we can hear God's voice? Again, just quickly discuss with each other. Does God still speak to us today? Yes or no?
Yes.
And do we hear God's voice? Can we hear God's voice? A yes or a no? Quickly talk to each other again. Yes, yes, God is speaking to us each and every day. And we can hear his voice. We can hear what God is telling us, what we've got to do. There are different ways what God is speaking to us. The first one is that God is speaking through his word, and that's the Bible. Everything which has been written in here, God gave it to a person that he should write it down. So this is God's word. So if we want to know what God is saying, we've got to open up the word of God. Because if we're not opening up the word of God, how exactly can we know what God is saying? 2 Timothy 3, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that a man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." So important it is that we can do what God wants us to do. Isaiah is also talking about it. "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I send it." So God is speaking to us through his word. That's the Bible. God is also speaking to words what he's saying, audible and an inner voice, both of them. The audible one, we do not see and we do not hear much about it. If we're talking about people in the Middle East, where Christianity is low, we hear that God is speaking and revealing himself more as what we experience over here in the West. That they hear audibly that God is speaking to them. But then God is also speaking with that inner voice, that voice which is on the inside. So it's not that God is then speaking to you, but he's speaking in you. The third way what God is speaking to us is through pictures and through impressions. That God is giving you a picture which has got a certain story. Maybe for you, maybe that you receive it, that you've got to share it with somebody else. And sometimes you maybe receive a picture which doesn't make any sense to you. But when you give it to the other person, and the other person says, "But that's exactly what I needed, because that's an answer for what I was looking for." We also get dreams and visions. I haven't got time for dreams. Renee is complaining about it, but when I sleep, I sleep. I haven't got times for dreams. But people are getting dreams. In Joel we can read, and it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And we are living in that time now that the Holy Spirit has been poured out. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. I'm battling a little bit with that, but I pray that it is going to come. With my gray hair that I also can dream dreams. And your young men, you shall see visions. This is how God is speaking to us. This is how God is communicating to us. And then the last three, that is, if we hear a voice from God, if we get the pictures and the impressions, and if we get the dreams and the visions, we continuously have got to compare it. What is God's word saying? Is it clashing or is it not clashing? If you get a dream that you've got to kill your senior at work, that you can be promoted to get at work, compare it with the Bible. And the Bible is most probably going to say, do not kill. So your dream, I don't know if you've been drinking before that day or anything like that, but that dream is not correct. So continuously we've got to compare it and say, okay, but what is God's word saying over there? And if you get a dubious one, compare it. And if you're not 100% sure, please speak to somebody else or pray with somebody else about it. Because if we're getting something for us, we always have got to analyze it. Where is it coming from? Are we receiving it from God? Is the enemy trying to plant a certain bad thought in our mind? Or is it something selfish? If I'm going to start thinking about a new car and I'm going to buy one of those small cars, let's say I want to have a Merc and it must be red, and I put it on my desk, I can guarantee you within a week or two somebody will prophesy for me, or I will get a dream about that red Merc, and then I will say, oh, the Lord has spoken, I must buy a red Merc now. No, you're creating that expectation. It's coming out of your own selfish flesh, and you've got to discern, where is it coming from? Is it coming from God? Is it coming from the enemy? Or is it my own soulish thought? Paul at the time wrote to the Corinthians, and he was straightforward with what he was saying over there. If you're trying to interpret it something yourself, and if it's not comparable with the word, reject it. I took this one out of the Amplified. If anyone thinks and claims that he's a prophet, filled with and governed by the Holy Spirit of God and inspired to interpret divine will and purpose in preaching or teaching, or has any other spiritual endowment, let him understand, let him recognize and acknowledge that what I am writing to you is a command of the Lord. But if anyone disregards or does not recognize that this is a command of the Lord, he's disregarded and not recognized. He is one whom God knows not. So to conclude, my brethren, earnestly desire that, and set your hearts on prophesying, on being inspired to preach and teach and to interpret God's will and purpose. And do not forbid or hinder speaking in unknown tongues, but that all things should be done with regard to decency and propriety and in orderly fashion. So we've got to be very careful that we're not going to prophesy left and right and center and think that I've got words and things like that. It has got to be in line with what God is saying. And we are privileged as Christians that we can hear God's voice. God is giving it to us. Christianity is unique among religions, for it alone offers a personal relationship with the Creator, beginning here and now, and which is going to last through to eternity. And it's something beautiful. I'm not trying to talk negative about other religions, but there are other religions in this world where there's a God and where the people are. And the people try to work themselves up to that God by doing God things. But we as Christians, we believe in a God who loves us so much that he sent his Son who came down to us. We do not have to go up. God came down to us. And we can have connection. We can have communication. We can have a relationship with that living God. And that for me is so beautiful, because there is no other belief who's got it. It's only Christianity who's got it. The others, they're never sure that they've made it. He never sure that they're going to have a place in heaven. But we serve a God who says in his word, there's a place for us. I read a story from two guys who were sitting in a plane and they started talking to each other. And then one of the first questions what Mel is always asking is, what are you doing? And then the person said, okay, I'm a minister. And the other one says, wow, I'm also a minister. And then they started talking to each other. But then they found out that the one was minister of a Pentecost church and the other one was a minister of a traditional church. So the one from the traditional church says, the Bible is finished. Do you still think that God is still speaking? That God is still speaking to us? The other one, the Pentecost minister, had quite a full day. He wasn't interested in a very long discussion. And he said to him, before I'm going to answer you, can I ask you a question? He said, okay, it's fine. I said, have you been called to be a minister? The guy said, yes, I've been called to be a minister. And he said, who called you? And then the guy turned around, looked at the window, and didn't speak to that minister anymore. He couldn't give an answer on that. We can hear God's voice, and that's so awesome. And unfortunately, there are churches who are missing that blessing. They're not receiving it. They cannot hear what God is telling them. Jesus was saying in John 10, verses 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice. They understand me. And I understand them. They understand the language, what I'm speaking to them. And I understand their language. And they're following me like disciples. In my life, and I've quite a long life already, it was approximately beginning of 2014. Up till then, I couldn't hear God's voice. I couldn't hear that God was speaking to me. There were things happening in my life where I could say yes, there I could see the guidance of God. It was at a certain time, a few years before that. At a certain stage, I got three scriptures confirming each and every time the same thing, what I had to do in business. I couldn't get any clearer message from God whatsoever, but I didn't hear his voice. And now I started by hearing God's voice, spending time with him. And that is how, if you may be in a situation that you say, but I'm not hearing God's voice, time. Time is the most important. But I'll come back to that one a little bit later. Because a lot of times, it is that we think that God has got to bless our plans. A lot of time, we go in the world, we want to do certain things, and then when we are at the situation, because I want to have that job at that certain position, and I want to have that car, then I must probably pray and ask God that God is going to bless me, that he's going to give me that job, that he's going to give me that car, that he's going to give me that wife or that husband or whatever you're looking for. But we've got to change it a little bit around. It's not our plan. Where it is about, it's about God's plan. Where do we fit into his plan? And that's a little bit of a different strategy. So then it's not a matter of, God, I want that job. Then we change it around. We say, God, place me at a job where I can be used for your kingdom. It's a total different approach. Your CV is maybe going to look a little bit different as well. It's not that you're trying to sell yourself as good as possible that you get the position. You say, here I am, Lord, and if you want me that in that position, I'll get the job. Amen. But then I know I'm there, and then I must listen to you how you want to use me in that position over there. God has got a plan for us. When I'm communicating with God, I write down the things what he's saying to me. And here at the front it says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and future. This is God's plan. And we've got to find out what God's plan is. And we can do that by listening to his voice. I'm going to mention now four steps this is not the Alpha, this is not the Omega, but I'm trying to just explain to you, if you're in a situation that you say, but I cannot communicate with God, I cannot hear his voice, I'm seeing certain things, some doors are opening up, some doors are closing, so I think God wants me to move this or that way. I'm trying to just mention a few points, which hopefully are going to help you, that you can say, yes, I can start and hearing God's voice, that I can hear from God, how God wants to use me, the plan what God has got for me. The first step, if you want to listen to God, is prepare. Make an appointment. Sounds maybe strange, but yes. Set time apart. Don't squeeze it in between 1 and 2 at your work. Mm-mm. And if you're not quite sure, and if it's one of your first times, take half a day, or maybe even take a day's leave. Take the Bible, take your notebook, take a pen, go to a place, say, Lord, I want to speak to you. I want to have an appointment with you. I want to hear your voice. I want to know what is on your heart. What is your plan for my life? And that I can hear how you want to use me. And by preparing yourself, you're creating that expectation. You're making an appointment with God. Those who are parents around here will know that if one of your children comes to you, and it's not a scream what they've got for mum or dad or anything like that, but if they come and they say, mum, dad, then you know they need something. And that's actually for a parent, nothing more beautiful than that, to hear your child calling for you because you know they need help at that moment and there's something what you can give to them. We had the privilege of being for 2-3 weeks then in South Africa with 2 sons. And with the 1 son, I spent a little bit of time because they moved and we built a little bit of a shed over there. And it was during the day, continuously, he was asking, Dad, Dad. And it was actually so beautiful because he was asking, what was my opinion? What should we do? What can we do together? And there's nothing more beautiful than that. And God is our Father. He's waiting for us. He's waiting for us that we should come and say, God, Father, I want to have an appointment with you. I want to speak to you. That you make that preparation in yourself. That you create that excitement in yourself. James 4. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hand and your sinners and purify your hearts, your double-minded. We've got to go to God. God is not going to send random SMS and emails and WhatsApps and those type of things out. No. We've got to go to God. It has been said earlier today as well. God is a gentleman. He's not forcing him down on us. He's waiting for us. That we make that first step, that we go to him. The next one is we've got to become quiet. We've been singing it as well. And we've got to pray. When I start as well with my quiet time, then I pray that there are no other thoughts which are keeping myself busy. My phone is one side, laptop is not switched on. I prefer to do it early in the morning so that I'm not going to be disturbed by anything like that. Renee is still fast asleep. And then I can speak, then I can talk, then I can communicate with God because it's important, because otherwise I haven't got a relationship. You all agreed. You all said yes, yes. And then I've got to become quiet and I've got to listen to what God is actually saying to us. Before I'm becoming quiet, myself, I always switch on some music. I put it on shuffle. I don't know what songs are going to play, but there's always a line. There's always certain songs which I'm hearing with certain words, certain phrases in it, and I write them down. And I can always see, okay, there's a certain message what God is giving me. Yes, he can do that. God can even play the songs. When you play, pressed shuffle, he can play the songs, what you've got to hear for that period. We serve an almighty God. He can do that. You preached about it last week, how important it is to worship God. We've got to start with worshiping God. Becoming quiet, worshiping God, and then we start with our communication. One verse that I want to quote about a musician is 1 Kings 3. bring now me the musician. Then it happened when the musician played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. And he said, thus says the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. They went to the Lord. They got somebody who started playing. And then they created that atmosphere. And then they could see the hand of the Lord. And then they could hear. And then the Lord started speaking. Then his voice was coming. After we become quiet and we enter that presence of God. In that presence of God, I cannot describe it. I can only say it's such a peace that I can start talking. And whatever comes up on my mind, it's maybe things which I've done wrong, then I repent of it. Because I feel that's between God and me at the moment. And I first have got to clean of that before I actually can have a good conversation with God. It's maybe sometimes that a certain face is coming up. Then I pray for that person. I don't know where it is for. I pray for that person. I'm not going to phone the person afterwards and find out, I prayed for you, what happened? No, that's not important. If that face is coming up, then I'm praying for that person. And it's between God and that person. And it's also that sometimes I've got a certain request. Then I want to ask a question. God, what exactly you want me to do? A simple thing is, should I preach or should Renee preach this coming Sunday? Then I ask the Lord, and the Lord is giving me an answer. Renee is praying and she's getting the same answer. And that's awesome. It's a confirmation that God is interested in us. And I also sometimes can just pour out my heart. I can just bring to the Lord. If there's certain things in my life that I feel I want to just bring it to God. And a great example of what we've got is David. How many of those psalms would he wrote? Have a look. He started bringing it to God, and as he was bringing it to God, it changes. Where he was first bringing his problems to God, his thoughts to God, his negative to God, it turns around, and at the end of the psalm, he's praising the Lord, and he's giving him glory. Praying in tongues as well. It's also in my quiet time, and what I feel what we can do as well in our quiet time, that we can pray in tongues. For some of you say, yeah, that's a little bit unknown for me. Praying in tongues, because there's not, I should say, between me and God, I'm speaking a language, I cannot understand it. But I'm speaking a language and I'm praying in tongues, edifying God. And once you start doing that, my experience is, then God starts talking. Then he's telling me. I'm one more of questions, so I will ask questions, and God will tell me yes or no. And when God is speaking to me, God is always giving me an answer, but then he finishes as always, my son. And that's special. That's for me so precious when God is saying that, my son, because then I know, but wait a moment, this is coming from God. And then when God is speaking, I've got to write it down. If you haven't got anything like that, buy it for yourself, a journal, and write the things down. And if possible, get two colors of pens. The one, you speaking to God, and the other one for God speaking to you. It could be a black and a red, or a black and a often a blue and a red, or anything like that. But there you can write down how God is communicating to you, that you can read it again afterwards. We at certain times as well, we said, but this is not what God actually said to us. And then when we paged back and then we read it again, just give confirmations of how many times God is speaking into our lives. He's giving messages to us. And it's not a matter of what he said yesterday to us, it's finished and it's over and we're waiting for a new message. No, he gave that message, and that message is important. Because God's personal rhema, the spoken word to you, will always line up. It's God's written, the Logos word. So whatever God is telling you then, and what you write down, you always can compare it to the Bible. And you can ask for God confirmation out of the Bible as well. And he will give you a verse which is confirming what God is saying to you. And if God is speaking to you, and if he's telling you, because you've been asking him now. Please do what he tells you to do. Don't just write it down. Leave it one side. No. Because it will happen. That God is telling you to do something and you don't do it. And I've heard of people that afterwards they said, but God is not really speaking to me anymore. And then you ask them, but what is the last time God spoke to you? What did God say to you? Have you done it? Have you done that thing what God wants you to do? Because God is giving us different messages. Messages which are sometimes very difficult for us. Which we cannot understand. Because if God was telling you, you had to take a few million people out of Egypt through a desert and bring them to Israel, it would be difficult for you to accept. You will say, wait a moment. But you're not the first one. Moses got exactly the same instruction. And if God is telling you that you've got to be a warrior and that you've got to conquer a certain country like Joshua had to do, then you've got to do it. God is equipping you to do. And if you may be a little bit of a dubious one like Gideon, and you say, but I'm not quite sure, is this from God, is it not from God? Yes, you can ask him a few times. God will give you each and every time the same answer. But then do what God tells you to do. Even if the amount of people who are fighting along with you, or just a few, and the army on the other side is much bigger, don't worry, God is with you. He instructed you to do. And he was talking to David as well, exactly what he had to do and where he had to go. And God is very specific. He can tell you. He can tell you at a certain specific time and date what you've got to do and where you've got to do it. And I'm quoting Jeremiah over here, who said, but I'm too young. The majority of people who are here are young. You're never too young to do something for God, for God's kingdom. You're never too young. You don't have to be as gray as me. You can do it. I had to wait quite a long time before I started listening to what God was telling me and started doing it. And God wants to use us. God wants to use us for his kingdom. God wants to speak to us. But he's not going to force himself down. We've got to come to him. We've got to create that atmosphere. We've got to praise him. We've got to become quiet and listen to him and bring our stuff to him that he can react on it and that he can share it with us. And we can write it down. We can read it again. And most important, that we're doing what God is telling us to do. So when I started with spending time with God, yeah, it was for me a little bit unknown because I've never done it actually before and I've never read it in a book how to do it, or somebody told me what, where to do. And it was early in the morning and I would go in and I would spend time with God and I would speak to him, listen to songs, and then God would start speaking and I would write it down. And then somewhere in the week when we had time, we would compare it with each other, me and Renee. And then we said, but what did the Lord say to you? What did he say to me? And then we saw, but he's giving us exactly the same message. And that's the reason why we're here in Utrecht. Because God told us we've got to start an English-speaking church in Utrecht. We obeyed what God told us to do because we listened to his voice. And God wants to speak to each and every one of you. And if God is not going to speak to you, or if you're not going to listen to God, then you're not going to be effective for God's kingdom. Maybe it sounds very harsh. God wants to use us, that we can hear, and God is telling us, go and work there, speak to that person, pray for that person, invite that person, whatever it is, at work, anoint that person's chair, pray for him, he's needing help, whatever it is, maybe God is giving you a word of wisdom, maybe a word of knowledge, maybe a prophecy which you can share with that person. It could be different. God wants to speak to us, but we've got to go and we've got to see God's face, that he can speak into our lives. Because that communication, that listening to God's voice, that has helped me with a relationship with God. And that's going to help you with a relationship with God as well. Because now there is communication. And when there's communication, we've said earlier, then there's a relationship. And the truth is that deep within, we would like to know what God is saying to us. And you don't have to hear it from somebody else. God wants to speak to you. And if you say, yeah, but sorry, but I haven't got time for it, or how must I do it? Again, take a day's leave. Take your Bible. Take a notebook and a pen. Go to a place. Leave your phone at home. Make an appointment with God and say, God, I want to speak to you. I want to find out, how do you want to speak into my life that I can be for benefit for your kingdom? And again, every born-again Christian has got the capacity to hear God's voice. It's not only for a few. In the Old Testament, it was only for a few. But in the New Testament, the veil has been torn. We can communicate with God. The creator of heaven and earth, who've made everything what we can see, he's so far, he's above time, but he wants to speak to you. And he's waiting for you. Let's stand. Thank you, Father. Thank you that you are God and Father, and that you want to speak to us, and that you're waiting for us, your children, to make that step forward closer to you, to set time apart that we can hear what you want to speak into our lives, that we can hear your voice. And maybe it's an inner voice which is speaking on the inside, but that we can recognize it. And as we're hearing it more and more, Father, that it's confirming that you're speaking to us, and it will be easier to understand what you're sharing and what you want to speak into our lives. Father, you want to speak to us, to your children. And as all the eyes are closed at the moment, if you may be over here this afternoon and you say, but I've never come to that situation that I can call the creator of heaven and earth, that I can call him Father, because I've never acknowledged him as creator of heaven and earth. I've never asked for repentance for the sins what I've done. I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I've never asked God to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you hear this afternoon, you say, but I feel now I've got to take that decision. I've got to take the decision to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior, that I can have a living relationship with God the Father, the creator of heaven and earth. If the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, and if it's stirring your heart, that you feel, yes, I've got to react, then I'm asking you, please raise your hand, that we can see that God is speaking to you, that God wants to have a relationship with you. If you feel that you've got to start a relationship with God this afternoon, and I'm asking you to raise your hand. If you're here this afternoon and you say, God has become a ritual for me. I'm just reading now and then the Bible. I'm praying now and then. It's more a type of a wish list what I've got, a type of a shopping list what I push over the table to God and say, Lord, the most important ones are at the top, please. There's a distance between me and God. There's not really a relationship. And you say, but I know God, and I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. But I would like to that I can start communicating with him. And you maybe have done it before, but that you want to recommit again, that you say, but I want to be in that position again, that I can hear God's voice. And if that's with you and you say, yes, that's me, I've got to recommit again this afternoon, because I was drifting away. I was going my own way of having my own religion, now and then in church, now and then reading some Bible and some prayers. But I really want to have that communication. I want to really hear God's voice, what God wants me to do for other people. And you want to recommit, and I'm asking you to raise your hand. And those who have raised your hand, I'm asking you to come forward, to be bold enough, come forward. And I'm asking the small group leaders to come that they can pray for these people. And if you're here this afternoon that you say, I've got a relationship with God. And I hear His voice. But there's something else. Could maybe be that there's healing what is needed. Maybe you're praying for a job. Maybe you are in a certain situation that you, whatever it may be, don't walk over here. Don't walk out and let it pass. But come forward that we can pray, that we can pray in agreement with you. God wants to speak to us. He loves us. We are His children. He wants to have a relationship with us. We're going to sing a few songs now. And in the time, if you feel that the Holy Spirit is stirring you, then I'm inviting you that you can come forward and we can pray along with you, whatever it is. And this time of this week, which is going to come, spend time with God. Listen to His voice. Ask Him what He wants you to do. What is His plan for your life? Not that God is going to fit in into your plan, but that you can fit into the plan of God. Because God has brought a plan for each and every one of you. And it's an awesome plan. Thank you, Father, that we can give you all the honor and all the glory. That we can be your children. And that you want to communicate with us in the name of Jesus.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.